Father, you know that worth reading about and thinking of things that are very important, that are too much for us in a way, because our limited minds cannot comprehend the truth of which we hear. But we thank you that your Holy Spirit is given to us, and we pray that he may be active in our hearts and in our midst, so that we may rejoice in the things that we hear about yourself, about your great love, and we may be inclined to take them so into our lives that we may be changed in the way that we think and speak and live. We ask this for the glory of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you ever go to the cinema or sometimes. Some years ago, there was a film called The Theory of Everything. Did you hear that? I think it was on the television about a month ago. I watched the first bit of it, but I think it started about 10 o'clock at night, and I didn't want to miss all my beauty sleep, so it was a bit of a decision not. But I wish I had watched all of it. It's the story, do they call them biopics? Of the life of Stephen Hawking, you know, whom some of you may have glimpsed negotiating the streets of Cambridge in a specially adapted wheelchair. And that title, The Theory of Everything, was a bit of a funny title, really, but, and I don't understand these things hardly at all, well, very, very little. But I understand that that title, The Theory of Everything, comes from the attempt that's being made by scientists and how they love to, know everything, which is a very good God-given instinct, I'm sure, from the attempt made by them to tie together the way that big things work, big things like stars and galaxies, to tie how they work together with how little atoms and things that make up atoms, how they work. Because the problem is that these macro things, like stars and galaxies, seem to have a set of rules all of their own, which are very distinct from the laws that govern little atoms and what makes up little atoms. And they seem to be a very different set of rules. And so scientists are desperately trying to come up with a theory that can apply both to the large things, the stars and the galaxies, and the tiny things like atoms, to harmonize the whole universe, scientifically speaking, thus creating a theory which explains everything, if that makes any kind of sense at all. Now, Jesus had no such difficulty in harmonizing his world, did he? The scientists may have a problem with it, but Jesus had no such difficulty in harmonizing his world, because when he was quizzed by that lawyer as to which was the greatest commandment, he cut through all the confusing red tape and the tangle of rules and regulations, as it must have seemed to ordinary folk at the time, with his no-nonsense reply, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Everything, Jesus said, hangs on these two commands to love. In fact, Jesus was saying that love is the harmonizing factor, linking together both the way that we treat God, the macro person, if you like, and the way that we treat our fellow humans on the micro scale, if you like. So Jesus is really saying that it's love that makes the world go round. That was Jesus' theory of everything, linking everything together in a wonderful harmony. Now, that word love is such a special concept. That word love, as we understand it, God's love, and the love that we can have for others, is such a special concept that it required a freshly minted word to convey it. And I've been noticing that every year, a number of new words come into being. You can look them up on the internet if you're so inclined. And here's one of the recent ones, illustrated by this Toblerone bar. Now, I don't know if you've bought one of these lately. If you have, you might be slightly disappointed because, you know, they're composed of triangles of chocolates. Well, there aren't so many triangles of chocolates in the Toblerone bar anymore. And someone, realizing this, actually invented a word for this disappointing experience that he had with the Toblerone bar. And he called it shrinkflation. Shrinkflation. Of course, the price remains the same, but the consequence is you don't get so much chocolate for your bucks, do you? So, a new experience, albeit a sad one, brought about this new word, which has only come into being in common use in the last year or two, perhaps. Now, believe it or not, something very similar happened to that when the New Testament was being written 2,000 years ago. Why was the New Testament written at all, we may ask? Well, of course, it was to describe the coming of Jesus into this world and with him the breaking in of an absolutely new kind of love. A kind of love that no one had ever seen or felt before, as they looked at his life, the things that he did. But very much a love that they did see manifest in him, and a love that they felt through him. And this experience of the love of God through Jesus was so full-orbed that no existing word that they knew was adequate to convey the height or the length or the depth of it. Yes, there was a word in the Greek language, I think it was called philia, and that meant love, but only love for people close to you or love for your family. There was a city called Philadelphia in Asia Minor. There's one in America in modern times by the same name, meaning city of brotherly love. But that word, as I say, only meant love for your nearest and dearest. And that word was considered too pedestrian to describe this new experience of love that had overtaken these first Christians. They simply had to coin a new word. And so they took a word that already did exist but was rather colourless in its meaning, and they invested this word, which was agape, word that you'll probably be familiar with, invested it with all the rich, with the richness and the glory that belongs to God and his Christ alone. So with regard to the Toblerone bar, we experience the big letdown of shrinkflation. We get less than we hoped for. But with agape, God's special love for each of us, the contrast couldn't be more different, could it? Because we open ourselves to this love and this God and this Christ, the more we find ourselves wondering at it and being excited by it. Because if there's anything about this love that's called agape, it's a love that reaches out, that suffered and bled and died even for us. It's a love that's always reaching out to us. Now, I wonder if you've noticed that we began with what Jesus calls the greatest commandment, to love God and our neighbours and ourselves, but now we find ourselves talking about God's love for us. And the striking thing, the startling thing is that it's the same word, agape, the same love with which we are loved by God, is the love that we're required to show back to God, to reflect back to God, and to reflect towards others. It's the same word, which is quite amazing, really, isn't it? that the commandment says you're to reach out to God and to others with the same love with which you are loved by God. That's a tremendous thing. It's very startling and very amazing. And of course, that's something that no human being has ever succeeded in doing. To love back to God and to love other people with the love that we are loved by God. Nobody's ever succeeded in doing that, with one exception, of course, and that is Jesus himself. He not only spoke the commandment to love, he fulfilled it perfectly. In all he taught and spoke and did, especially as he agonized on that cross for each one of us. And the Christian's amazing secret is that once we have found this love of God, this love of Christ for ourselves, and given ourselves over to it, surrendered to it, something happens to us. Our attitudes, our relationships will begin to show a change. For once we know ourselves to be loved in that way by God, we are empowered to love ourselves. Not to love ourselves, to love God and to love others. If you know that you're loved, you can, and you're receiving this love, you can give it out, can't you, in a way that you can't before you know it. Jesus reached out in love on every occasion. And so can we. A few months ago, I was in a meeting when I noticed a person. It was in a big hall. I noticed a person on the other side of the room, and he was completely by himself. One half of the room was fairly full. The other half just contained him. And he sat in the middle of a row, all by himself, looking lonely, and I'm sure feeling lonely. And you realize that this was so when I looked, and I could see that he was from China. And I felt so sorry for him, I just moved to the seat next to him. And we got talking after the lecture. And yes, and he was from China. He was visiting this country for a year's research. He said he felt very lonely. He had left his family in China, and he felt by himself. But in the weeks and months that followed, we had several meals together. And I helped him as best I could with his English. It was quite difficult if you're Chinese to speak English. I think some Chinese latch on more easily than others. He had a particular problem with, he couldn't distinguish between walk and work. Walk and work. I find those very indistinguishable. And I did my best to point out the difference, but I don't know whether it really was successful. But he began to attend church and Bible study, a particular Bible study laid on for international students. And at the end of his stay, I felt that I should broach the subject of Christian faith with him, because I tried to just mention this on occasions, and I knew that he'd been going to church. So I said, well, what do you think about Christianity? And his reply was, he will never leave us, will he? And he went on to explain, I now have the love of Christ in my heart, he said. Well, I was just one of a number who befriended him. But what a privilege it was to hear those words. You see, we can reach out, can't we, if we know that God loves us, if we know that Jesus died for us, if we know that life is worthwhile, that there's something worthwhile to share with other people. When Jesus' love fills us, it overflows from us. We sort of can't help ourselves, can we? It's a love that can melt our natural shyness, and lots of us are shy, I know. I think I used to be a lot shyer than I was. I was a lot shyer than I am. And there's a natural reserve about us that makes it difficult to break through. But what I'm saying is, the more deeply we taste of the love of God, the more easy we'll be able to break down that barrier that often separates us from other people. So that love of Jesus can tone down, can melt our natural reserve and shyness. It can tone down any impatience or dogmatism which might put other people off. And it can make us really gracious in our dealings with other people. It would give us the words to speak. They won't be perfect words. Sometimes we'll make a mistake. We'll be a bit clumsy. But, you know, you have to learn on the job, don't you? As you communicate the love that you've tasted with other people. For remember, when we know ourselves to be loved in that way by God and His Christ, we will, in our turn, reach out with that same love. In fact, I'll say that eventually we won't be able to stop ourselves from doing that. Now let us pray. Lord, melt our hearts. We know that we don't have natural love within us. Well, we do have love for our nearest and dearest, for our friends, but we want that love that embraces all mankind. A love that melts our natural shyness and reluctance to get involved. A love that knows or learns what is the right thing to do in any circumstance, that is able to speak that word that you are giving to us. Lord, may we be as amazed by this new kind of love as were those first disciples when they realized it, and as were the writers of the New Testament when they wrote about it. As they could not get over this wonderful experience of your love for them, so may it be the same with us. May it be a love for you and for others that totally transforms our lives and changes our priorities. So, Lord, help us to follow this way of discipleship, to be of greater use in your hands. We do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.